Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 6, and we'll be covering chapter 4, part 2, in the TAN edition of the book covering the growing up of the little flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer which was composed by the little flower to the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, sole beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee, I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon, Therese of the Holy Face, may behold thy glorious face in heaven. Saint Therese wrote the story of the soul under obedience, which gained universal demand, and its theme was spiritual childhood, which has brought great profit to many souls, as Pope Pius XI mentioned, because it enkindles charity. Last time, we looked at what I consider to be one of the main points of the book, the glory which lasts forever, and that is eternal life, and what she mentions in there. And then the other important thing was her first communion. She cried so much that the girls that were receiving their first communion thought it was because she lost her mother and she wasn't there. But actually, she had melted into the hands of God. Today, we look at Therese's love. We hear this. I showed how pleased I was to see her again when she came back, but all I got from her was a look of indifference. So here, Therese is relating of a friend that she had made months before. And this friend left for a while, and she constantly thought about her in a very kind way. And when she came back, this is what happened. She did not want me, and I felt it terribly. It was the last time I sought affection as fickle as hers. But God has given me such a faithful heart that once I love her always. So I went on praying for her and love her even now. That once I love for always. This makes me wonder, what is the difference of living in heaven and living in hell? I want to be with Therese in heaven because she loves people even when bad circumstances come up, because once she loved, she will love always. And that sounds like the source of that is from God. She continues, how can a heart that is taken up with human love be fully united with God? And so this question is important for each soul. We can't place all our hope on any human. They are not perfect, but only God is perfect. God has made our souls to long for perfection. Therefore, we can never put all of our affection into any imperfect person, which would be a human being. but only in the perfect person, which would be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. She says this, "He wants me to love him, that is God, because he has forgiven me, not much, but everything. He did not wait for me to love him with a great love, like Madeline's, but made me see that he had loved me first with an infinite providence, so that now I may love him in return, even unto folly." Therese unlocks for us something that concerns the love that God has for us. Before she said this, she spoke about analogy of a son who is the son of a doctor. He falls on a stone. His dad bandages him. His son loves him greatly for falling and being attended to with the salve of his father. And then the other part of the analogy is another story. Let's say that that father loved that son so much that he moved the stone so that the son would not even know that it was there in the first place, and he would never have fallen. He would never have been hurt, and he would never have to be bandaged. So in conclusion, the son loves less. But Therese is able to penetrate infinite providence because she lives in an age of the church, meaning that she understands that the love of God is greater for those who never fall, who never commit mortal sin, who are innocent. And St. Mary Magdalene, she's called a penitent because she sinned so much, and she loved much because Jesus healed her. But there's a higher place in heaven for those who have a greater love, those that are totally innocent. And how does she know this? It's like St. Thomas, who teaches that the Old Testament pedagogy is different than the New Testament pedagogy, because the Old Testament was there to teach children, and the New Testament was to teach the age that lived during the New Testament, adults. So, what is the greatest assurance of this grace? That we can be illuminated by God like Saint Therese, and that's to receive, in my opinion, more and more fervent communions. To ask for the grace, to have exponentially more fervent communions from our last one and for our future ones. Then she speaks about the age of reason. And I say that it's a mystery. Some souls are lost and others go to God. And theologians talk about when a child chooses that first time in their age of reason for God, then he's going to tend to stay with God. And if he chooses against God, he's normally going to tend to be against him. So this is what she says. "I am sorry for people who lose their souls. It is so easy to miss your way when the paths of the world seem so attractive. Of course, enlightened souls," okay, so we pause for a minute, that is the illuminative way. I talk about this much, the three ways, the purgative way to get rid of mortal sin, the illuminative way to be enlightened by God, and the unitive way to have that fullness of the charity and that spiritual marriage. "Of course, enlightened souls find the pleasure which the world offers mixed with bitterness, while the immense void of their desires cannot be filled by a moment's flattery. But as I said before, if my heart had not been drawn toward God from its first awakening, and if the world had smiled on me from the very moment I entered it, anything might have happened to me." So this is the deep providence of God, that most likely souls that go to heaven will be able to fully understand. Then we go into where she's makes a total consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary with a group called the Children of Mary. And I speak often in conferences and missions and retreats and podcasts, how important it is for souls to be consecrated totally to Mary, because the age we live in is a deluge of sin. Just like the flood was a deluge of water and only 8 people escaped, we live in a deluge of sin where it seems to me the numbers are going to be similar. But those who become clients of Our Lady, they're the ones that make it. So here we have a modern saint, one of the greatest saints, one of the most popular saints. She made the total consecration to Mary. And this is what she said. In the meantime, I made up my mind that I must consecrate myself in some special way to Our Lady. And so I joined the Children of Mary. I had to go to the convent twice a week then, and I must admit that this cost me a lot because I was still so shy. Then what I'm going to read next is a prelude to the contemplative life. She was preparing for the silence in the cloister because her soul was a soul that was melancholic. She really liked to be alone and to be in silence. And everyone has a different temperament. And the difference of becoming a saint versus a sinner is that the saints, they find the virtues that are necessary to overcome the faults of their temperance. So she was in school for a while, but she stopped going because she was shy. And her father gave her a mistress, and she was very grateful for her. But she could never be friendly enough with her and spend any length of time with her, because again, she liked to be silent. And the virtue that she engendered here was union with God. And this is what she said. I went into the tribune of the chapel until Father came for me. Here, in the silence, I found my only consolation, Jesus, my only friend. It is so valuable to have a constant conversation with God. That's the reason why we were created, is to be in union with Him. And we can participate in heaven while we're still on earth by having that constant conversation with God, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints and angels. It's called the communion of saints. We can be in communion with them. And again, receiving Holy Communion and many spiritual communions is a great way that we can converse with this whole court of heaven. Speaking of the communion of saints, her last sister, Marie, left for the convent. She entered Carmel, so Thérèse could no longer speak of her scruples. So what did she do? She tapped into her temperament of being quiet and shy, and there she made great virtue, growing leaps and bounds in the spiritual life. She turned her attention to heaven, and she had recourse to all those in heaven and the 4 little angels. Remember, there were 4 miscarriages between Louis and Zelie, and this is what she says. From that moment, my love for my little brothers and sisters in heaven grew deeper. I loved to talk to them about the miseries of exile and tell them how much I longed to join them in our eternal home. And that brings us to the end of day 6 in our study of the story of the soul. Thank you so much for listening and joining me in your journey to grow deeper in the spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing Chapter 5, in which the little flower recounts the famous story of Pranzini and that condemned man. Stay tuned for that story. It's beautiful and will teach us many things about confidence in prayer. And then her desire for souls grew every day. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.